Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber.
And singer-songwriter Marcy Novelli.
Today on the show, we're joined by LA-based singer-songwriter Jesse Macht. Jesse comes from a family of entertainers, and his music's been placed in shows such as The Voice and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. He's also been featured in independent films such as James Franco's Good Time Max, and he's just back in the US after his first European tour. We're looking forward to finding out about Jesse's experiences on the road and what's coming next. So, hey, Jesse, how's it going?
Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
No worries. Thanks for coming on.
Very futuristic way to do an interview. I'm totally into it.
A few people have said that. We are the future.
We are the future. This is it. Ross and I are the future.
You guys, I see you somewhere in the great beyond in the future. You could be talking head aliens for all I know.
Maybe we are.
And I could be too.
Maybe this is the match. So Jesse, we like to start off all our shows right off the bat by asking each of our guests three things about yourself that everyone should know. These could be things that you may have said a million times, although we kind of like to pull some things that maybe your fans might not know about you. So
Pull them. Let's go. Let's try and find it. Three things that everyone should know about me?
Yeah, that hopefully that they don't already know.
That they don't already know.
Hopefully.
I'm a huge dog lover, yet I don't have a dog. I don't think anybody knows that.
There we are.
And dogs love me too. I've only been bit by a dog once when I was 9 years old. I was bit in the wrist by a Shar Pei. So I don't like Shar Peis.
Shar Pei, sharp teeth.
I thought all dogs loved me until I met the Shar Pei in Florida.
Terrible.
So I was bit by a dog, but I love dogs. That's better. That's more concise. I was bit by a dog, but I still love dogs.
I like it. And it has a rhythm to it.
Yeah, it has a rhythm to it. More poetic now. What else? I think some people know this, but I'm a huge baseball fan. I love baseball. For a lot of people, I'm the nemesis. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm such a big baseball fan that I root for so many teams. So even though I'm a Yankee fan, I had no choice. My father's from New York. There was no growing up being a Yankee fan. But I live in LA. I grew up in LA. All my life is LA. So I'm a big Dodger fan, but I just love baseball. So I play 3 times a week. I still play baseball when I'm in town.
That's the way to be, though. If you're a sports fan, you're a sports fan, right?
That's right. I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys, must be soccer fans, football fans?
I'm no fan.
Neither. I'm no fan of anything.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
We're music fans.
Yeah. What's number three? Number three, I just moved into a new place, this beautiful house in Silver Lake, California. And my roommate is this guy who owns a house. He's a cool dude. We've been friends for a long time. And he's giving me really good lessons on like very manly things. Like now I have to know how to start a fire because we have a fire pit in the back. So I know how to start a fire now. We're cooking really well every night. Health food, cooking. He's keeping me on track. And we're fixing the house and building things. So I had to build a table. What else did I have to build? I had to build a door in my studio. I've been building shelves everywhere. So the new thing about
Jesse Mack is learning to become a man.
That's right.
Jesse Mack. I haven't learned how to become one yet either. So one day I'll find my, what's this guy's name?
My friend John.
Yeah. John, yeah. I'll find my John one day. Teach me how to be a man.
I am grateful for my friend John. My sexiness factor to the ladies is going way up. I can fix anything in the house now. I can start building shelves. It's going to be killer.
You will all to John. Yeah. I hope he's going to get a song on your next album.
Yeah, well, it's funny, he's a great piano player, and every morning I wake up, he wakes up before I do, and I can hear him playing piano in the living room to try and wake me up, being like, all right, it's time to go, let's go, and he starts playing funny songs. I woke up this morning to Still Crazy After All These Years, Paul Simon, which was hilarious.
I love it. Nice. I love it.
Anyways, those are three things. That's pretty good.
Those are three wonderful things.
Okay, good.
Wonderful things. I like them. You like them, Roz?
I love them.
Do you approve of them, though?
That's why. Oh, yeah, no, I completely Candyman approve.
Candyman and baseball.
That's there we go. Look approve. At that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You were previously in a band called Burn Down the Mission.
That's right.
Yes. Were there any specific reasons that you went solo?
There were many reasons why I went solo.
As there usually is.
I'm worried we may be opening a can of worms here.
Yeah, you may be opening a can of worms. That said, the main songwriter and singer of that band is doing very well as being a songwriter for himself now. He's writing songs for artists. He's not a performer. But, I mean, really what it came down to at the end of the day was we were together, the band, for a long time. We did really well together. And there were some personal things that happened in some of the band members' lives that made it tough to perform and tough to schedule the next performance because they had to worry about private personal problems. And it gave the opportunity to everybody to say, you know what, we have to be responsible for ourselves. What do we really want to do? And for me personally, I'd always wanted to perform on my own. And as much as I loved the band, there was always a part of me that really wanted to do my own music, my own songs. Mm-hmm. So I had always written my own songs. Performed a little bit on the side of the band, and my expectation was that the band was going to be one way for me to continue to do the things that I really wanted to do, the artistic perspective that I wanted to write from. And the band never allowed me to do that, which was okay. I loved doing what the band was doing. But this was clearly the moment where life was sort of saying, all right, this is your time. Everyone has stuff going on, and this is your opportunity to step up and do your thing. So it worked out. Actually, exactly how I'd always imagined, just not in the same way, right? You know, I always thought the band would be the way to get me to do my own thing, and I thought it would be maybe in a different way. I'd be touring the world and playing to hundreds of thousands of people, and that would be the facility of the way to get me to play. But this instead was the band prepared me. It educated me on playing piano and bass and drums and singing and guitar and songwriting, most importantly. And once that was done, it gave me the opportunity to birth something new and more true to who I am as an artist. So,
well, it's brought you to where you are now with your current album, Suitcase Heart. Came out last year?
Yep, at the end of last year. Yeah.
How's that been going since that's come out?
It's been fantastic, actually.
That's awesome.
Actually, I don't know why I say actually.
Actually, it surprised me.
The response has been really wonderful and exactly what I was sort of hoping. I think as artists, I'm naturally growing and already excited to get onto the next record.
Cool.
But I love playing these songs. How it's hit with people has been remarkable, and the feedback that I'm getting from my fans and has been amazing, and the fan growth has been awesome. And the record came out really nicely, and I'm proud of it. I'm glad that that's what I get to put my name under.
And you just completed a house concert tour of Europe, and you're playing in my country. The country that I own. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So you played. I own Scotland.
See, if I own Scotland, how amazing would that be?
Yeah.
It'd be so cool to own a country.
You can maybe turn it around.
Beautiful country. You have a beautiful country and a beautiful history. A rough and short history, but a dynamic history to say the least.
That's a very good way.
Was that your first time in Europe?
No, I've been to Europe. But it'd been 12 years since I'd been.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, it was time to come back.
Whole different perspective going to Europe 12 years later in your life, I think.
I was a teenager when I came.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Being an adult was fantastic.
You're an adult. You're adult. An adult now.
That's it. I'm a full-fledged adult. At least that's what my friend's mother.
Learning to become a man.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I had to learn how to build shelves and build a fire and... I don't know.
What was the experience like when you were out in Europe this time around?
Well, you know, touring on my own was interesting. A lot of people were saying, are you nervous traveling by yourself? But I ended up not really being by myself very much at all because my fans were picking me up from the train stations and I was hanging out with friends. Yeah. So I was, if anything, I had so much company the whole time. And meeting, you know, strangers quickly became friends. and meeting all these people was just fantastic. I had the most amazing time. To feel the history of that part of the world was tremendous. I wouldn't say I'm very well educated about European history. That said, I'm very interested in it, and that with American history and American, let's say, propaganda, or just the studying of how this country came to be in World War II and all that, to be in Europe and sort of feel and see the vibe and gain perspective on European ideals and why maybe Europeans feel the way they feel in different countries, especially in fast forward Germany, Belgium, France, England, Scotland, to just get that sort of take was so interesting. I just had the best conversations with people in Belgium, especially because I was there for a long time. But people in Belgium and people in Germany and France, that was where a lot of my shows were. And I would talk to them about why they might have the philosophies they do. What do they think about Americans and why the Americans have
That's
the
always a scary question. What do you think about Americans?
It is. But I'm sure it's scary the other way, too, because, you know, anyway, it is.
That's true, of course.
And there's this, that, and the other for any culture you're a part of.
That's right.
But what I learned from it was really tremendous, and that I learned that we're all the same, and it's just a matter of certain perspectives that are ingrained into us. And the more we communicate, whether it's through music, language, is the key to helping open everyone's mind and get us all more in line. Yeah, it was beautiful. There were some people at my shows who didn't speak any English in France. Oh my God, my songs are so lyrical. How the hell is this going to come through? And what they fell in love with was the vibe of the home concert, which is a whole thing in and of itself, which is a beautiful, different kind of show that I do and that people are doing. And just that music and passion, if you are devoted to it and you are truly giving yourself in a genuine way, that transcends language. Music is its own language that we all understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, for any of our musician listeners right now that want to go out, not only to play house concerts, but to go out to Europe and play house concerts, what would you tell them to look out for? Or, you know, what was your approach to actually making that possible?
Well, one way was really communicating with my audience, the people who do listen to me. And that doesn't mean you have to have millions of fans. It's just whoever is really listening and communicating with them on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. I mean, that's what makes all this so magical. I'm sitting here in LA, you're in Scotland, you're in Canada. I mean, it's
the internet. I think it's going to be around for a little bit, man.
It might be around. Yeah, it might work. And that's that's why communication is everything. So it's really just trying to communicate. You know, I grew up especially, I think you guys did too. I mean, we've all grown up with this rock star mentality of having the mystery of the people that we love. And there is that. And of course, that's beautiful. And I love the mystery of certain songwriters and musicians and rock stars I grew up with. That said, I don't know if I'm that guy. I don't know if I really want to be that guy. I like, as much as I can, communicating with the people who are into my music and know, oh my God, this is hitting with them. That's fantastic. Then this is hitting with them. So the conversation is most important. And by opening the conversation, you say, hey, look, I want to come to Europe. I want to play a show. What venues do you know? Or are you interested in hosting a house concert? How can you help me facilitate to get there? So that's probably the most important way. The other way is that I found out there's a company called So Far Sounds, which is a cool company. You know about So Far Sounds?
Yeah, I know a few people that have used them, like other musicians that have booked shows through them. Very cool. Very cool idea.
Very cool. So I talked to them, and I didn't do So Far Sounds on this tour, but I'm going to come back to Europe in September and do some So Far shows, which are home concerts sponsored by this company called So Far Sounds, and they pack the room. And they have surprise guests. So you sign up for a raffle essentially to get in, and I think they send the house to you like 2 weeks or a week before the show, and you show up and you don't know who's going to play, but you're encouraged to sit in the floor, and it's an acoustic show, and they have three different bands, and you usually know at least one of the bands, not necessarily. So, I'm doing So Far Seattle in 2 weeks, So Far San Francisco. And I was asked to do So Far Cambridge, and I'm hoping to do So Far Paris, Brussels, and London in September. So that's going to be really awesome. I can't wait to come. I guess I did stage it, and I'm doing a stage it tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, I've been meaning to try that out.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, look, it's, really cool, it's just like this. It's just like this.
Exactly.
It's very casual.
Well, I don't know if you ever remember the website Stickam.
No,
I used to really use that a lot and do a show, but that kind of went away. And it's there's not really anything like that where you can really sit down and just talk to your fans, just like this, just talk to your listeners. And Stage, it's kind of cool. I mean, you charge money for it, which sometimes is cool, sometimes sucks. There's pros and cons to it, but
I think with Stage, you can do free shows though. And you can basically and fans can tip you. Like, they can tip you on the paid shows as well,
cool.
But they can tip you on the free ones. So if, right. Especially if someone's never been to a Stage It show, like offering them a free ticket is a good way to get them in.
That's
and
cool.
then you know, maybe they'll want to pay for a show in future.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. There's a pay what you can. I think you do have to pay.
I think there's like
notes,
a minimum. Yeah.
And five notes is a nickel. So you can afford the nickel.
Well, I don't know, man.
And look, I'm all for free shows.
We haven't been able to monetize this show yet. So,
well, look, the tipping is a way, but let's also be realistic, because I don't like to just live in that free music world. Obviously,
I agree with you.
Make a living.
We need to make a living.
Said,
that's right.
Yeah. That said, I understand free music and trying to help people, but at the end of the day, I think that there is plenty of money in music. It's just a way for fans to, for musicians to not beg for money and to not, and not to overcharge, but to say, to ask in a way of sharing. And if you just share your music and it comes from a genuine place, I think that's going to come back to you in a reasonable way. And Stage It for me has been an absolute example of that. So I do offer, you know, nickel tickets to get in, but people are so generous with their tipping.
That's
and
awesome.
it's amazing, and it makes the show worth it, because at the end of the day, it's my art and it's my time and it's the
that's
way
right.
that I pay my rent. So
that's right.
I think people see that and they respect it, that it's blue collar work at the end of the day. We're
right.
playing our instruments, we're learning, we're working hard, we're traveling the world, and you know, people want to support that, and if it's not supported, then we can't keep doing it.
And I know that when I've gone to Stage It shows, I've probably tipped more than I expected I was going to tip, and I probably it's added up to the price of a ticket to maybe a regular show, because you're in that moment and you hear a song you like and you just, it's so easy just to tip, and you want to tip, and it's great. I really am a big fan of Stage It shows. I've not been to one in a while. That's the only trouble for me, is the time difference. Is that if someone's in LA, then they'll maybe do a show. Sometimes they'll do one in the afternoon, but still, it's quite late here.
Totally.
So that's the only barrier for me.
Yeah,
it can be a bit of a difference.
I will say that's why I try to do a lot of my shows around noon, because I know that my European people are the people who really want the Stage It's most. So I try to do it at right times. That said, I usually don't get many Americans when I do a show at noon. But anyway, well, I'm glad you do it. It makes it very possible for musicians to survive, and Stage It is a cool thing. The goal, once internet can really be available and Wi-Fi can be available in more places, I think you're going to start seeing some really cool shows with people set up in funny situations. That's the only thing.
When's your next show, Jesse?
I'm doing a Stage It show tomorrow.
This will air after that, but we should try to make it out to that, Ross.
Definitely.
We should try to do that.
It would be cool.
Tomorrow at noon, I'm doing one, but I'm going to do one probably in about 2 weeks also, from Portland, Oregon. And I'm going to do
one awesome.
With a band, because we'll be on tour, and I think it'll be fun to just do one. I don't know where it's going to be. The whole point of the show is somewhere in Portland, we're doing a Stage It.
I love it. I love that.
I better make it to Wi-Fi by noon somewhere in Portland. So that one. So that'll be like
do a behind the scenes video of just you trying to find Wi-Fi to do the video.
That's exactly what it should be. I'm looking at, let me see, the calendar is going to be, I'll tell you later, I'll post it on my thing, but it should
be cool.
Right about May, it'll be May 2nd is what it'll be.
Cool. We should be able to have this out before then, so hopefully help bring some people out there. Jesse, you come from a very I guess I would say creative family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your father and your brother are both actors.
You come from a crazy dimension.
The fact that all three of you are entertainers, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, don't tell me where I come from.
you don't know me.
Yeah, right. Where do you come from? Yes, I do. I come from a family of entertainers. Yeah.
So is that something that's been passed down, something that is very common throughout your whole family? Or is that, were you raised just realizing that it's actually a real
every morning
it's a real thing to be an entertainer?
every morning my dad would grab me out of bed and throw me up against the wall and say, "You're gonna be a musician. You better be in the music." And he'd hit me.
I doubt
across the face.
That. Oh my god.
I know. art and English and literature and drama were holy grail in my house, and philosophy. My dad is an actor, but before he was an actor, I mean, still, he's a PhD in dramatic literature. So he was a professor of theater and dramatic literature, and he's deeply in love with philosophy and Greek philosophy and Greek tragedy. So,
cool.
You know, every house has their thing. And in our house, it was growing up with trying to learn these moralistic values from the Greeks, really.
And
drama was just... It was just infused in everything. So he never actually wanted any of us to be entertainers. That was the last thing he wanted. He would much rather have us been doctors or lawyers that have a practical job. That said, because the acting profession is just a challenging profession, not knowing where your next job is coming from.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And music, he had no idea that I would be a musician. I mean, none of us are music people.
It's even worse to pursue a musical career than acting, I think.
It can be, yeah, it can be. But I think, but it was just ingrained, the love of drama. So we didn't, in some ways, we didn't really have a choice, you know, it was just what we loved. It was what we grew up. It's what we knew, and it's what we feel comfortable in. So that's why. That said, my sister, she's a graphic designer, so she does have creativity.
Still
she's a
creative,
tremendous,
yeah.
Yeah, she's a tremendous artist, and she does fundraising stuff now, which is not as creative in that way, but she is a people person, and that's why she's been hired that way. She loves interacting with people and telling story, and I think that comes from the same seed that we all have.
Yeah.
And my other brother is a TV editor, so yeah, it comes from, he knows how to tell a story. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he knows speaking how to tell
stories. I was going to say, speaking of education, you have a degree in anthropology.
I do.
So... if you weren't doing music, like, what would you be doing?
I'd be out in the trees with the monkeys, man.
You kind of are in your mind, though, aren't you?
More than you know. I was actually watching The Daily Show with Jon Stewart this morning, and he was interviewing Fareed Zakaria last night, and Fareed Zakaria released a new book called something like The Love of the Liberal Arts or something like that. And, you know, there's such an argument in America, especially for kids to concentrate on science and mathematics for school and to be engineers. And what it's vital, and I think that's important, and I have a lot of guilt sometimes feeling like, oh shoot, I should have done something like that. That said, I was never very good at math. But what Fareed Zakaria is sort of saying is now schools are getting rid of a lot of arts programs and mm-hmm. English and history, art history, anthropology. Colleges are closing their doors to there. And why it is so vital for people to go major in those studies, because not necessarily because you are going to become an anthropologist or an art history major, but it teaches you how to be a critical thinker and how to analyze and how to think outside of just you know, the certain boxes that you might be in if you're stuck to mathematics. Obviously, mathematics is going to teach you a lot of different ways of opening your mind, and it's vital to be a part of your education, but it's also important to be well-rounded in your education.
I was just going to say, yeah, the term well-rounded, I think that's so important. Because
yeah.
It's more about it. It's more than education than who you become as a person, too. And it all kind of ties into one another, right? And
yeah.
you end up seeing things in much broader spectrum rather than just,
that
you
is
know.
Right. That's the goal. And that's what he was saying the American university system was built on, as opposed to the European system at the time. In the late 1800s, the European system was you choose your craft and you go for it at 16. And the Americans were saying, we want you to have a bigger education or a wider education at a later stage of life, because we want the perspective to be perhaps outside of what your craft might be. I don't know what's necessarily better, but that was the difference of philosophy. And so, yeah, so I'm an anthropology major and I studied the monkeys and how people think and why we think this way. And perhaps I think it's probably the driving force to what my music really is about, which is trying to comprehend why we are the way we are, why I behave the way I behave, why we all behave the way we behave, and how to get through that. And to realize that the human condition is something that has as much variance as it has similarity too. And the perspective on that is interesting. I think there's a lot of art in there, and that's what I love writing songs about. So the anthropology philosophy is very deep within my songwriting.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
As long as they're not my intro to human evolution questions.
Do you have your phone with you to look things up on Wikipedia?
dates and archaeology.
No, we keep it a little lowbrow here, don't we, Ross?
Yeah.
I used to know the species of every single monkey. I knew it.
Spice this up.
I know. I wish I did.
I feel embarrassed simple questions.
I only have one monkey related question in here.
Okay. And they're just like this or that. Made it a little
less. I'm going to ask you a monkey related question at the end, and we'll
see.
I
like
if you guys can answer.
Okay, good, good.
I'll take you through that. All right, let's go.
Cool.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Oh, geez. I can't have both?
You know. Well, I'll let you have both. Marcio will probably be against the meat, but I'll let you have both.
I'm vital for both. I need both. But I guess if I had to throw away one, I'd probably go for vegetables.
Like you'd throw away the vegetables?
No, I mean, like if I couldn't have one, I would go for the vegetables.
Okay, we're still good.
Yeah, okay.
CD or vinyl?
Ooh, this is brutal. I would say CD because it's the only way I can listen to music because I don't have a record player. That said, I love how a record sounds more than a CD.
That's fair.
Truth.
CD because it's the only way. Okay.
Saved by the Bell or Boy Meets World?
Saved by the Bell. That said, I loved Boy Meets World. Tatiana was my girl.
You're so well-rounded.
Yeah. I dated Tatiana in summer camp when I was in fourth grade, and half the reason I dated her was because I was just moving the character of Boy Meets World to
transference.
Transference. That's right. That's the word I was looking for.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh, come on. I'll be honest. I gotta go with Scotland because I haven't been to Canada enough. I've only been to Toronto.
That's just one city in
exactly
a country larger than the States. So there you go, right?
So I have to go.
Although
to Vancouver,
one-tenth as populated.
But I love both places. I can't choose. You're giving me hard ones. Jeez. Okay.
Oh well. Wait till you get to the later ones. Okay. You're gonna have a hard time.
Okay. Let's go.
This is probably easy. Twitter or Facebook.
Twitter.
Good choice.
I think. Twitter, because I like the news of it. And I like the brevity, and I like that it provides a little more privacy.
Agreed.
Somehow. There was an earthquake in LA the other day. I didn't go to Facebook. I went to Twitter to make sure I wasn't alone. And right away I was like, did you feel that? Did you feel that? Did you feel that?
Like, basketball or baseball?
Baseball. Period. That one is the first decisive one. I throw basketball. No, baseball.
You threw basketball under the bus on that one.
Basketball can go move. All baseball for me.
Breaking Bad or Homeland?
Ooh, Breaking Bad.
Good choice.
Breaking Bad.
I think Better Call Saul.
I can't get into it.
Are you serious?
I can't get into it.
Oh, I loved
it,
man.
You guys loving it?
I liked it, but really. I find the finale really disappointing, to be honest. It didn't feel like a finale. It felt like there should have been another episode. It just didn't quite...
See, I felt like, if you remember Breaking Bad, like each season kind of had a big arc, as they usually do. And this really kind of ended what the first season was. Uh-huh. And then I felt like they were setting it up for a whole second season. That's just me.
Cool. I love Bob Odenkirk. Genius. I just couldn't get into the show as much. But Breaking Bad, I love because it's just the story of somebody, of rooting for such an evil human being is fantastic. I love it. I love that everyone's like, I care about this guy. Yeah. That said, Sopranos takes the cake.
Indie or major?
Indie. I used to say major. Definitely indie now. But the world has changed. I think to fight for your own work and your own belief and your own artistic creativity is so paramount. And I used to think that the major, I was naive. I thought that the ability for that mass communication overrode your independent speak, and it was important to reach the ears of more people and then transition to maybe what you wanted to say. I thought that that was a that's where a lot. I mean, look, the Beatles did that. So many bands that we know have did it that way. And I just realized that really in my heart, I was never that way. I was Jim Morrison from the start, and I that kind of philosophy and indie.
Cool. Yeah. Katy Perry or Miley Cyrus?
Both very indie.
I know.
I go Katy. Wonder Woman. She looks like Wonder Woman on all the billboards around. She's beautiful. Katy Perry.
That's why I put the question in, because I saw you tweeted about her.
Yeah.
Baboons or orangutans?
Oh, orangutans.
Friends?
Now wait, let's remember, we're going to remember this one. You said okay. Baboons or orangutans? We're going to have to go, you're going to have to reference this question when I ask you your question.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Orangutan. Right.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
I'm not going to lie, I took a second there because I'm trying to Google
song. You're so subtle, Marcio.
Yeah.
You're the king of salty.
Yeah, I go with Seinfeld because I think it's a great human, it's a perfect anthropology show.
I love the show.
And
it's so real.
Yeah, and my ex-girlfriend, who I love very much, she would watch Friends every single night before we go to sleep. And she probably still does when she goes to sleep. So I can't watch the show. It's too heartbreaking. Can't do it.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Oh, Marilyn Manson.
Nice.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Correct answer.
Oh, totally, dude.
You just got knocked out by some idiot in some part of Canada. Yeah, he was at Denny's apparently, and some guy punched him in the face at 2:00 in the morning. I think it was in some Luxembourg. I don't know where it is. Some idiot part of Canada. That's embarrassing.
I love all his music, but he's no question a genius. He's a genius.
I agree. He's a true artist, isn't he?
True artist. Real genius.
Definitely.
Now, this may be a tough one, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not sorry. Music or anthropology?
Music. Definitely music.
Music
has all the elements of anthropology that I love, and you can learn a lot if your mind is open to accept it in that way. You can learn the core values of what I think what you learn in anthropology through different, if you have a dynamic songwriting menu. If you listen to a lot of different writers, a lot of different bands, you gain the same things you learn from anthropology. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marilyn Manson. Taylor.
Yes. I love it. Yeah, I'm with you. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Exactly. Well, okay.
That's actually a question.
oh, Michael Jackson.
See how that worked together?
Oh, Michael Jackson is the man. I love Michael Jackson.
Sorry,
have you
Ross.
Seen This Is It? You watched This Is It?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
He's amazing.
How amazing would it have been, eh?
But hey, so, did you not see Hercules? I mean, Michael Bolton sings that song, Go the Distance.
God. Yes, he does.
Come on.
Yeah, and that was...
We got to get Michael Bolton on the show, right?
Well, like I said in one of our previous episodes, every episode of Bridge the Atlantic is a plea to Michael Bolton. Michael, if you're watching...
Come on the show.
Please come on the show.
He watches the show all the time.
He tweets me all the time.
He actually does.
No, twice.
what's his name?
But you have to say that, right?
Forget who.
I have to remind everyone that Michael Bolton tweets you.
saying When a Man Loves a Woman, the original.
Oh, yeah.
Percy Sledge.
Just a few days ago.
Yeah, he passed away. But Michael Bolton also won a Grammy for covering When a Man Loves a Woman.
Well, there you go.
Bringing it all together.
He's got all the facts.
All the facts.
You don't need Wikipedia.
Good thing I had my phone for that. I needed Percy Sledge. I couldn't remember his name.
Well, here's a good one. Twerk or work?
Oh, work to twerk. Isn't it the same thing?
It is if you're Miley.
I'm going to have to go with work. Actually, I don't know. Does it have to be a literal twerk?
It could be figurative.
Yeah, I'm curious about what a figurative twerk could be, though.
Because if a figurative twerk is the expression, is the psychological and physical expression of release and letting out your inner beast and your inner sexy.
I like that.
That might be more important than certain kinds of work. I go to a dance class about once a month when I have time, which is more of a meditation through movement, and that is vital into getting through your day. That said,
love it.
Some of the work, I mean, work is vital, not because of pushing numbers or pushing papers, but the people who are really making the difference, it's very important. So that's a hard one. So twerk, literally, I'll go with work, but if we're going for the figurative twerk, I'll go with twerk.
Jesse, you definitely grew up in a household that really encouraged self-evaluation and deep thought through philosophy and moral examination, because you have put the most thought into that question out of our 30 plus guests, and I love it.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm sending this to my dad, my mom, and my dad.
There we go.
Ricky Gervais on the show. Put my dad on this show.
There we go. There we are. Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Oh, Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais. That guy's had a very dynamic career. I love the way he's grown in different ways.
Absolutely. And he's a great actor, too.
He's like a great actor.
Dramatic actor.
I can't tell if he's such a pompous jerk now, exactly what he said, exactly what he despised when he started, you know, when he made The Office and he made Extras.
Yeah.
It seemed like he's making fun of the sort of people that he became. That said, he might be playing a
character. I was going to say, or is that kind of his character?
It might be. It's hard to tell with him. Hard to tell with him. But he's an artist no matter what, and he's great.
Agreed.
Now, this is a question you may need to think about this one. No one really understands this question. We don't understand this question. We don't really know why we ask this question.
Okay.
Whale or kale?
Whale or kale?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Well, you ask this question because kale is vital to the body. It's roughage and it helps you grow. And whales are important to the ocean. They are mammals. And we use whale products more than you would even know, right?
I don't.
Have you ever worn cologne?
No, I don't wear it anymore. I used to.
Or deodorant?
I don't use any of this stuff anymore.
I think there might be whale products in deodorant,
I wear natural deodorant.
I learned about whales is that they eat squid, right? They eat like a giant squid, but a giant squid has a beak and they can't metabolize the beak. So they vomit it back up. It turns into oil and it floats on the water. And then as the oceans are going by, you see that oil and they pick that up. And that oil that comes from it is the exact same oil that perfume uses for the cologne to stick to your body. It's the thing that sticks to your body longer. It's that same substance.
You should become Jesse mocked, aka Wikipedia.
Boom. I know a little bit about a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
You're kind of like an encyclopedia. Yeah,
you're kind of like Wikipedia. Cool. A little bit about everything.
Jessepedia.
Yeah, Jessepedia. A little bit about a lot. A little bit about a lot.
Jesse, Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
Ayo.
No?
Ayo. No, that's good. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Jim Carrey fan. I love Batman.
Me too.
I like the Riddler. When you look back at that Batman Forever, that was great when you were in fifth grade. It's a terrible movie.
It's
his worst role. Jim Carrey's awesome. It's his worst.
Oh, my God.
He goes for it, though. He still goes for it.
I know.
Oh my God.
I watched it recently because I didn't watch it when I was a kid, but I watched it recently and I don't know if I actually managed to get through the whole thing. It was so bad. And not even, I don't know, if I watched it when I was younger and watched it now, I probably would have had at least the nostalgia thing going for it. But I didn't even have that. And I was just like, oh.
It's like the Ninja Turtle movies. The first one is actually still good today. It was actually done well. But the second one, it was recently on TV. And I was just like, wow, this is so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
But and the I final question, drum roll.
Yep, final question.
Drum roll. Yeah. That was so bad. I'm sorry.
Your drum rolls get worse and worse.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm just going to come out and say it. Ross or Marcio?
Ross or Marcio? Jeez. Oh, man. I think I got to plead the fifth.
Glasses off.
American. Plead the fifth. Plead the fifth. I'm going for both of you.
So all, like all you. In.
So like
me. So like the American.
All right. So you got my question. I got my question for you.
Go
for
okay, it. I'm scared.
Mine is not a yes or no, though. Mine okay. is not a yes or it's not a either or. What is the difference between an ape and a monkey? Why is an ape called an ape and a monkey called a monkey? For instance, why is a baboon a monkey and an orangutan an ape? What is the physical trait that is the real difference between apes?
Physical? Is it? And I'm actually not seeing this Wikipedia. Does it have to do with how many fingers or anything nope. they have? Or
no? I'll take you through it. All right. Here's okay. the big hint. Here's the big hint. When you see a monkey in the tree, what are they doing? What are they doing?
Climbing. Climbing and jumping.
Yeah, climbing and jumping. Are they ever hanging on a tree?
Yes.
What are they hanging with?
Their tails.
Yeah. So what does a orangutan's tail look like?
I don't know. They don't have one?
They don't have one.
Ah.
I got it. You may have gotten me through.
And humans don't have tails anymore.
That's it. So monkeys have tails.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Apes do not have tails.
Like, and monkeys and humans don't have tails anymore. And the sky is blue.
I was just trying.
And the ocean just reflects the light of the sun. And the world's gonna end. I got it all figured out.
So that's how you know when you go to the zoo and you see, you'll know if you're talking about an ape or a monkey. So when someone calls a chimpanzee a monkey, you're like, "Come on, man, chimpanzee,
dumbass."
Yeah.
Haven't you gone to Jessipedia, man? Look it up.
Yep. Hey, nobody remembered. I remember my anthropology class. I didn't know the answer either. I was like, oh, yeah, what is the difference between apes and monkeys? Tails, the easiest one.
I learned more on this episode than I think I've learned on any of our other episodes, maybe even combined, actually.
There will so be a test.
I have to congratulate and thank you for that.
I'm going
to
win.
I have to congratulate and thank you for setting this up. This is very generous of you guys. I appreciate it.
Before you go, Jesse, do you have any music recommendations for our listeners? Whatever you've been spinning, figuratively spinning on that iPod of yours or iPhone.
Absolutely. I've been listening a lot to Laura Marling.
Good choice.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I already knew Once I Was an Eagle. Her first record, I respect it. I love it. I can't get into it in the same way, but her new record, Short Movie, is fantastic. So I just I've been listening to Short Movie a whole lot. So I would say go out and buy that. And she's playing all over the UK for the next few months. So if you're watching this in the UK, go check her out. And in Belgium and everywhere. She's everywhere in Europe.
Cool. Awesome. And tell everyone where they can find you online. I know you're pretty active all over the place.
You can find, if you look up my name, you'll find me, Jesse Macht, but I'm jessemachtmusic.com, but I'm on Facebook, Jesse Macht Music, Instagram, Jesse Macht Music, Twitter, Jesse Macht Music. YouTube is the only complicated one, J Macht Music. I'll be on the road. I'm doing house concerts and concerts on the West Coast for the next 2 weeks. So that's going to be cool. If you're in the States watching this, I'm doing house concerts and venues this summer, and I'm booking house concerts, so you can go to my website, jessemachtmusic.com, and there's a flyer right on the front if you'd like me to come play a show. House concerts have been this fantastic way of bringing music really right to the people and starting a conversation of music, why I write the music I write, and making it a more intimate connection, a real radical intimacy in music that doesn't exist in the same way. We have that when we put our headphones in, but we don't have it as much when we're, you know, on stage in the audience, the lights in between. And although it's a beautiful experience, another way to experience music is this kind of way. So the house concerts have been fantastic. And I know that sounds like a whole speech, but I didn't get to say it earlier. And
I love it.
Yeah, that's what was so amazing in Europe. So I'm doing that in the States this summer. I'll be going around for all of July and August. So either come check out a house show, email me, and we'll get you into one of the house shows that's already booked, or book your own, and we'll have a great time.
I love it.
Right,
awesome.
Really
awesome.
Nice to meet you. Let's
you
keep
too.
The conversation
yes.
open. That was awesome.
Cool. We'll hopefully right. see you sometime if you're back over here.
That'd be great. I hope so, too.
Cool. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.